And hello, Savannah. Thanks for tuning into Real Estate Real Talk with Julia M. Spencer. Good afternoon. You have just passed the hump on hump day, and it is now Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before I get started with my show today, I just wanted to let you know that the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff. And thank you so much again for tuning in. It's 12:08 p.m. And the station you're listening to is WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And today I want to talk a little bit more about home buying and give you a couple of home buying tips. So this is more of a show for the everyday homeowner, deciding whether to buy a home or not and how you should go about that. Now I'm going to start my live Facebook cam here in a second. You can go on Facebook and just type in my name, Julia M. Spencer. Don't forget the M in the middle. And that way, if you have any questions, you can actually post them right there on the bottom of that live video. And we'll try to get to them after our breaks, and I'll try to address your questions. Before that, I'm going to play you some tunes while I get all that set up. And my selection today is pretty interesting. Actually, it's a little bit older. This next song is Kissing the Pink by... the title of the song is Big Man Restless, Kissing the Pink. I'm not sure you could hear that, actually. I think we have some technical difficulties here with our computers again. So I am back again. Let's just get started with our questions and answers here. We were just about to start the live Facebook here. I'm going to get my equipment here going. There's always some sort of problem here. So anyways, what I wanted to get back to this week is about this book that I picked up at a local Goodwill store. And it is basically called Home Buying for Dummies. It's the third edition, and I picked it up for 99 cents here at the local Goodwill. So I was able to... read that the other day, and actually it said on the cover of the book that it is a reference for the rest of us. So it was kind of interesting for me to pick that up. I, of course, I've been doing real estate for a really long time, and we have a lot of interesting information in there that I wanted to share and kind of give you like the experts feedback on what's written in this book. So I'm going to be talking this week about financing, basically financing 101. And the first subject that I wanted to talk about, the very first thing that you need to consider when purchasing a home is obviously understanding and improving your credit score. That's kind of like the most important thing that you need to look at before you go out and purchase a home. So let's talk about that today. Let's talk about understanding the importance of credit scores and credit reports, unravel a little bit how scores work, and see if we can boost your credit score for better loan terms. So talk a little bit about that. So when you apply for a loan, lenders, of course, try to determine your credit risk level. And that just means they want to decide if they should loan your money at all and how much and what are the odds that you'll pay them back. So the score influences the credit that's available to you and the terms of any mortgage that lender offers to you. But the credit report that people get actually is a lot more than just that. It also has other items in it. For example, the amount of debt that you can handle. It also talks a little bit about how much your income is. The credit score doesn't have that, but that's what the lender considers. A lot of things like your employment history, your credit history. And based with all of that, including with your credit report, that's how they make the decision how much money a lender is actually going to give you. And of course, every lender has their specific underwriting policies, and lenders may also extend credit to you although your score may be low or decline you if you have a really high score. It just depends on some of the other factors as well. So you have to be very careful to pretty much babysit and baby your credit score throughout your life to make sure you have a really, really good credit score so you can qualify for the best terms that are available. And I really kind of like this book because it's very simple and I like things that are very simple. I tried to do all my YouTube videos and my books for the simple understanding basis line that everybody can understand, so nobody has to scrounge and try to research and read a section over and over again. But we're going to talk a little bit about the credit score today and a couple of informational pieces even that I didn't know. So hopefully I can get our music going here in a minute. I'm not sure why it wasn't working earlier. But if I can get it working here in just a second, we're going to take a short break. And hopefully we can get that going here. We'll see. We'll see if it goes. We have technical issues with the music, so you're going to have to listen to me some more. All right, so let's talk about what your credit history comprises. Your credit history actually comprises what types of credit you use, the length of time your accounts have been open, and whether you paid your bills on time. These things are really, really important to the lender because it gives them information on whether or not they're going to be able to lend you money in the future and whether you're going to be a good credit risk to take on to repay the loan. So let's talk about some of the things that are in a credit report. Each credit reporting agency, by the way, formats and reports information differently. So all credit reports contain basically the same kinds of information. And these types of information are this, for example, identifying information. Could be your name, address, social security number, date of birth, and employment information. And also trade lines. This is basically your credit accounts that you already have with other lenders. And they also report on what kind it is, whether it's a credit card, whether it's an auto loan, whether it's a mortgage and so on, and the date you opened the account. And also it shows you or shows the lender when they pull that report your credit limit or your loan amount, the account balance, your payment history, and when you closed the account, if you closed it. Another thing that's actually in a credit report are the inquiries that have been made to your credit report. So when you apply for a loan, you authorize your lender to ask for a copy of your credit report, and it shows as an inquiry by that particular lender on your credit report. Some of the inquiries are voluntary and some are involuntary. So you can see all of that on the credit report in the future time. Now, there's also a third item that's usually on your credit report, and those are your public records and collection items. So, for example, it could be bankruptcies, foreclosures, lawsuits, or wage attachments, such as wage garnishments. For example, if you had maybe a rental agreement that you didn't pay for, and then there was a suit against you for back rent that you're supposed to pay, and there was a wage collection or garnishment that sometimes shows on the credit report, and of course liens and any kinds of judgments. So the lender that pulls this credit report can then see, well, how much of a risk are you? How much, what's the likeliness you're going to pay back the loan? And this is really, really good information for them. It's very accurate usually. So let's talk a little bit next about why you should even check your credit report. Now, for example, and this happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to lots of people, if not everyone, is that your credit report actually sometimes contains errors. And if you don't check it, first off, you won't know that there are errors. And then if you go to a bank and apply for a loan, it could be an auto loan or a mortgage. And all of a sudden you get this bad news that there is some bad information, wrong information on the credit report. So you definitely should check your credit report. There might be just some clerical errors. There might be some sort of identity theft too, and it could be identity theft that's not done intentional. It wouldn't be intentional in a way. I wouldn't call it theft, actually. It would be just an error maybe somebody has the same name as you, or maybe a social security number that's very close to yours and it was entered wrongly, or maybe your name is a little bit different or your name has changed. So, of course, inaccurate social security number, as I mentioned, is another thing. So, sometimes also loan and credit card payments were inadvertently applied to the wrong account. That can happen. And of course, the biggie that everybody's scared about these days is identity theft. So you can find that pretty quickly on a credit report. Now, just as a side note, I have subscribed for many years now to some of these third-party companies that will monitor a credit report for you. You can also pay the credit bureaus themselves to give you like a monthly report automatically, and they also send you messages if something changes significantly. This is how you can be alerted very quickly if there's something wrong with your report or some sort of error happened, and then you can, of course, fix it before any more damage is done. So it's very important to watch your credit report if you are in the market to purchase a home and you want to obtain a mortgage to get that. If you do find an error, they state here, the credit reporting agency must investigate and respond to you within 30 days. So it's kind of like a law, and I would definitely make use of that if you ever find yourself in that situation. Now, I think I finally, dear listeners here in Savannah, before you fall asleep here, figured out my technical difficulties here. So we are going to play a little bit of a break song here. I'm going to make sure that my live camera on Facebook is on. And the next topic that we're going to be talking about are FICO scores and basically how they work, and a little bit more information about those FICO scores and what they are. And thanks for having tuned into Real Estate Real Talk with Julia M. Spencer. Today we're talking about some of the things that you need to consider if you're interested in purchasing a home and you need some financing. So we actually recently had a guest here on the show, Chuck Fegan. He is a local loan officer. He was able to answer a lot of questions on mortgages, and hopefully I can bring him back on the show here again sometime. But today we're going to talk about your credit report, your credit scores, and all that other stuff that comes along with it that you need to kind of take care of before you go and walk into a bank or talk to a loan officer to get a mortgage. So let's talk a little bit about FICO scores. What are FICO scores? So the credit score most lenders use today was developed by the Fair Isaac Corporation, and it's called a FICO score for that reason. So the FICO scores range from a low of 300 to a maximum of 850. Probably most of us are pretty familiar with that. The higher your FICO score, of course, the lower the potential risk you pose for lenders. And they're provided to lenders by the three major credit agencies, credit reporting agencies here in the United States. And they're called Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. My three friends, I call them my three friends. Any case, although the FICO scores are the most commonly used risk scores in the United States, lenders may also use other scores to evaluate your credit risk. And they could be application risk score. For example, lenders will give you a really long application for a mortgage. It could be pages and pages long. Sometimes they help you actually fill it out over the phone. If you have to do it yourself, just set aside a good couple of hours to do it and to find all the information they're asking for. So lenders will use that information from your loan application. They'll also use your customer risk scores. Those are also called behavior scores to assess whether they should give you a mortgage or not. That's basically if you have already been a customer of that particular lender or bank, they're going to see what the past history is that you have with that lender or bank. Have you been making your payments timely? Have you had any defaults? Have you had any charge-offs or anything like that? Or have you been an exceptionally good customer that's always paid on time? And they're going to use that customer risk score. This is an internal score to that particular bank or lender. It's not something that you can get anywhere publicly. So, lenders will also use other credit bureau scores. So they're going to maybe even pull several of the credit agency scores and just kind of compare them. A lot of times what I've found is whenever I talk to a mortgage lender or a banker, I'll just ask them which credit bureau they use, because I know which ones kind of rate me higher and which ones rate me a little bit lower. So that's a really good information to have. Now, if you've been turned down for credit, the Federal Equal Credit Opportunity Act, short ECOA, actually gives you the right to find out why you were turned down within 30 days. You're also entitled to a free copy of your credit agency report within 60 days, which you can request from the credit reporting agencies. Now, if your credit score was primarily part of the lender's decision, the lender will use the score reasons to explain why you didn't qualify for the credit. So if you were turned down, I always recommend go ahead and get your credit report, check out and see what it says on there, see if there's any errors, if there are any omissions, maybe something was recorded wrongly on there, or maybe there's some sort of identity theft going on. Definitely take care of that. Like I said, your credit report is kind of like your baby, especially if you're a real estate investor. Of course, if you're an individual home buyer as well, it is also your baby that you kind of need to babysit and watch very, very carefully. I've had a love-hate relationship with my credit report for a long time. It's a really good credit score, but I have to definitely work at it, and especially as an investor, to keep it up there to make sure that all my numbers line up. My ducks are all in a row, basically, whenever I'm ready to make that decision and buy that home, that next home. So let's talk a little bit about how scores work. It's kind of like the short version. And a lot of this information, by the way, dear listeners, if you have just tuned in, comes from a book that I picked up recently at a Goodwill store. I don't buy a lot of books and I don't buy expensive books. This one cost me 99 cents. It's been sitting on my shelf forever, but once I started reading it, I thought, you know, I'll share some of this information. Even if you're just a brand new home buyer or you're just trying to get into the real estate investing business, it's a really good reference for all of us as well. And the information in here, I think, is excellent. So let's talk about how scores work really briefly. And we're going to get to that in just a moment after I play you a little bit of an announcement here. And let's see. Yeah, there it is.
Fathers Mentoring Sons will present the organization's annual Black Tie Affair, featuring food, recognitions, and scholarship awards on Saturday, June 16th at the Liberty City Community Center on Millsby Lane Boulevard in Savannah. The event will benefit Fathers Mentoring Sons, promoting communication, teamwork, leadership, conflict resolution, and other life skills in young men to reduce crime in Savannah. For more information, visit fathersmentoringsons.org.
If you like blues music, tune in on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. to hear my show, Blues Hour. I'm your host, Brian Renner, and I'll be playing a mix of blues styles to include Delta, Chicago, Texas, Memphis, New Orleans, Piedmont Blues, and many others. That's Blues Hour, Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m.
Check. WRUU brings you the most diverse and passionate This all-volunteer and nonprofit community radio station accepts no money from any form of government. Our diversity and independence is made possible only through the generous financial support of listeners like you. We rely on your annual and ongoing monthly contributions to cover the many costs associated with bringing you our broadcasts and web programming. If you are a contributor, thank you. If you are not yet a contributor, please show your appreciation of the role WREU plays in your life by becoming a contributor in any amount. You can donate quickly and easily by credit card or check. You just find the donate and subscribe links at WREU.org. Thanks for listening to and supporting WREU.
And thanks for having tuned back into Real Estate Real Talk here with Julia M. Spencer on this Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And the next thing that I want to talk about here on my show today, we're talking about home buying and some of the things that you need to consider before you go out and get yourself a loan to purchase a home. And today we're going to talk about credit scores, credit reports, and all that kind of stuff. And I want to talk a little bit now about how your FICO scores actually work, sort of like the short version. And a lot of my information comes from the Home Buying for Dummies book that I picked up for 99 cents recently at a Goodwill store. And it's a really good reference book, so I got a lot of that information from there. So let's talk about how scores work. Each credit score is actually calculated by a mathematical equation. It evaluates many types of information from your credit report at that agency, and it's basically then compared that information with the patterns of hundreds of thousands past credit reports, and the score also identifies your level of estimated future credit risk. So in order for a FICO score to be calculated from your credit report, the report must contain at least one account that has been open for 6 months or longer. In addition, the report must contain at least one account that has been updated in the past 6 months. So that just ensures that there's enough recent information in your report to calculate the score. Now, your score can change whenever your credit report changes, of course, but your score probably won't change a lot from 1 month to the next. So it's kind of like an unwritten law that once the your credit report is pulled from a lender when you apply for a loan, that you kind of should probably close fairly quickly within 30 days or so, because the report will change. And I've actually experienced this in the past, that if whenever my mortgage paperwork and the loan process from when I applied to when I closed took longer than 30 days, that the lender required to run the credit report a second time. And if they noted significant changes at that time, they definitely made sure to ask me about that and tried to get an explanation prior to the underwriter giving the get-go for the closing. So basically, although a bankruptcy or late payment can, of course, quickly lower your score, improving your score takes time. So a lot of people also suggest that if you're going to a lender and you want to purchase a home, that you check your credit history at least 6 months before applying for a mortgage, and then you have some time to actively work to improve your score. And of course, you should always check it like quarterly or even monthly, and use one of those companies, third-party companies, or even the credit reports themselves. They have these subscription programs now where you can pay, I don't know, maybe $15 or $20 a month, and you get the score updates pretty much on a daily basis if something changes, or you'll get the actual full report every month so you know what's going on at all times. That's really good information. I like that about this book. I've had to learn all of this firsthand and pretty much by trial and error here, but it's good information for all of us to have. So here's a really cool thing. I've not seen this before. This is, it kind of breaks it out in this book, and I wanted to kind of address that. I wanted to know which parts of my information actually make up this credit score. And there is a really cool chart here, and it basically says how much of a percentage of the 100% pie, basically it's pie chart, how much each thing affects the score. And it says basically that that there are five categories that make up the score. And for particular groups, for example, people who have not been using credit long, the importance of these five categories may be different. So that's a little bit of a caveat. But here are the five things, five variables or categories that contribute to your credit score. One is payment history. The next thing is the amounts owed. The third thing is length of your credit history. And the fourth is new credit lines. And the fifth is types of credit that are in use. So let's talk about each one of these in turn here. Let's talk about your payment history. That actually makes up the biggest chunk of this pie, and it's 35%. So 35% of your FICO score, your credit score, is made out from your payment history. So, and that's basically because the first thing the lender, of course, wants to know is whether you've paid past credit accounts on time. And your track record for repaying those creditors affects 35% of your score. So how can you improve that if you have an issue with that? First off, pay your bills on time, of course. Second, if you missed payments, make sure you get current and stay current. And then third, pay off or close any account that doesn't remove it from your credit report. Paying off or closing account doesn't remove it from your credit report. So when you, and this is very important, I'm sorry, I had to interrupt there again and interject here. It's very important to understand that once you open a credit line with a lender or a bank or an auto loan or anything else, once it shows up on your credit report, it's there. It's going to be there for a long time. And in fact, it's probably going to stay there at least 7 years, sometimes even longer. So let's say you've missed a payment 4 years ago on some account that you don't even have anymore and it's closed. It's still going to be there. It's going to be there for a good amount of time. Now, if you have having trouble making ends meet, get help. That's another really good recommendation to improve your payment history. This doesn't improve your score immediately, but if you can begin to manage your credit and pay on time, your score gets better over time. And that's kind of like what I always aim for. It's not a like quick fix solution. Okay, I'm going to work today. I'm going to work on improving my credit score. No, it doesn't work that way. You're going to have to plan that out over the next 2-3 years and gradually make steps every now and so often to improve your score. All right, so let's talk about the next chunk here of this pie that affects your FICO score, and that's the amount that you owe. And that's another big chunk. It's actually 30% of what makes up your FICO score. And that's basically having credit accounts and owing money on some of these high risk makes you a high risk borrower, of course. You receive a low score if you just have way too much that you owe. And here is where I, as a real estate investor, pretty much fall into that category. I have a bunch of mortgages. And of course, the mortgages take a long time to pay off because they're very long loans, 30 years, most of them. And that, of course, is reflected in my credit history. That doesn't mean that I'm a big risk. It just means that I do take risks as a real estate investor. And I would kind of hope that you do the same thing if you wanted to become a real estate investor. But that also translates into that you will probably receive a low score. Because what it does, it actually shows the lending agencies that if you owe a great deal of money on many accounts, it shows them that you kind of overextended yourself, and it is more likely you're more likely not to make some of the payments at all or late. So that's kind of like part of their science in scoring it, and you kind of need to think about that when you become a real estate investor. It's really good in the beginning, and then your balances of how much money you owe goes way up, and then of course all of a sudden your score goes lower. So you kind of have to consider that. It's kind of a little bit, you kind of have to deal with it if you're a real estate investor. I've learned to live with this for a long time and found alternative ways of making my credit report shine, but you're definitely going to show a lot of stuff on that report. So how do you improve your score if you have a lot of accounts like myself and maybe like others? Basically, keep your balances low on credit cards and other revolving credit. So those are the types of loans that lenders typically look at, and they don't really like those as much. Mortgages are a little bit different story because they're very long loans and you have to have a really good wrap report basically to be approved for a mortgage to begin with, and credit cards, anybody can get them pretty much. So if you keep balances high on credit cards and other revolving credit, that's kind of like a bad thing. So you want to keep those low. Another thing, of course, pay off your debt. The most effective way to improve your score in this area is paying down your revolving credit. Not all of us can do that, but keep that in the back of your mind. There's some really cool charts now that they put on your statements, your credit card statements these days, where it basically shows you, okay, this is how long it will take you to pay off your credit card if you make only the minimum payment. And if you pay just a little bit more, you can reduce that time frame to much shorter time frame. So, you know, read those, take advantage of those calculations already made for you, and try to pay off your debt, basically. Another thing that you can do to improve your credit score in this area is don't close unused credit cards as a short-term strategy to raise your score. That doesn't usually work. In fact, it may lower your score. So late payments associated with old accounts won't disappear from your credit report if you close the account. It's better to have a bunch of long established accounts. That shows that you have a longer history and you can manage credit, which is a good thing. And having available credit that you don't use doesn't lower your score, actually. You may have reasons other than your score to shut down old credit card accounts, of course, too, that you don't use, but don't do it in hopes of getting a better score. And the last way to improve your FICO score in that area is don't open new credit cards that you don't need just to increase your available credit. That would pretty much just backfire. It will actually also lower your score. All right, so let's talk about the next couple chunks here. Let's talk about the length of your credit history. That's another chunk, what makes up your FICO score, and it makes up about 15% of the calculation. And that basically just means how established is your credit history. So how long have you had accounts? And the way to improve your FICO score in this area is, of course, if you have been managing credit for a short time, don't open a lot of new accounts too rapidly one after the other. It's better to open one and then wait quite some time before you open another one. That's going to have a better effect on your credit score. Now the next chunk here that I have is it takes about 10% of what makes up your FICO score. And that's new credit that you've acquired. So taking a lot of new debt affects your score, of course. About 10% of your score is based on new credit and credit applications. So how do you improve your FICO score in that area, in those 10%? First off, do your rate shopping for a specific loan within a focused period of time. And because the FICO scores, it says right here, actually distinguish between a search for a single loan and a search for many new credit lines, in part by the length of time over which inquiries occur. So basically, if you're going to shop for a new credit card or a new home loan or for a new car loan, just do all your shopping within a short amount of time. And if they're all for the same type of loan, they will actually only make that as one inquiry, and it will not be counted as many, many inquiries all of a sudden in a short time frame. Now, another suggestion they give here to improve your FICO score in this area is to reestablish your credit history if you've had problems. So opening new accounts responsibly and paying them off on time will raise your score in the long term. And another suggestion to improve your score in that area is it's okay to request and check your own credit report and FICO score, and it doesn't affect your score at all as long as you order your report directly from the credit reporting agency or through an organization authorized to provide credit reports to consumers, such as www.myfico.com is, for example, one of them that they give here. All right, so we're getting down to giving you a really good rundown of what your FICO score actually comprises. And also, the last little chunk here is the types of credits you have in use. That also affects about 10% of your FICO score. And how do you improve your FICO score in that area, in that last 10%? So basically, apply for and open new credit accounts only as needed. That's kind of like a self-explanatory recommendation here. Don't open 20 credit cards if you don't need them. Just, you know, get one. And it also means that do open some. Don't just have no credit cards at all. Have credit cards, but manage them responsibly. That's another good recommendation. Having credit cards and installment loans and making timely payments actually raises your score, which is a really good thing. Now, the number of credit inquiries. A search for new credit can mean greater credit risk. This is why the FICO score counts inquiries, those requests the lender makes for your credit report or score when you apply for credit. But inquiries actually don't affect your scores very much. I just mentioned that already. It's also mentioned in this as a tip in this book, which is really good. And many kinds of inquiries aren't counted at all. So you don't need to worry about if your employer, for example, is checking your credit report, that won't show up. And also, if you are making inquiries for the same type of loan or it's a pre-approved credit offer, those are not counted at all as inquiries on your credit report, will not pull your FICO score down at all. And the score does actually look for rate shopping. So if you have, like I said, multiple inquiries in a 14-day period, that's just counted as one inquiry. And in addition, the score ignores all inquiries made in the 30 days prior to scoring. So if you find a loan within 30 days, then inquiries won't affect your score while you're rate shopping. So that's a really good thing to know. It was always my big worry if I went and checked 3 or 4 banks. And it's like, okay, I got to stop checking because every time I check, my score goes down. But that's not the case. So this is good information to know. One piece of reference in this book, Home Buying for Dummies, that's very, very good. So good stuff. Well, you know, we're getting close to the top of the hour here. I'm going to play a little song here and take a little bit of a break. We're going to talk a little bit more about FICO scores, credit reports, and other things that may or may not affect your credit score in case you want to get some financing for a home purchase. And the next topic I'm going to talk about is what FICO scores ignore after this break song. And I'll be right back after that. And those were the Toadies. The name of the song was Tyler. Thanks for sticking with me through my break here. I had to get some water. All right, let's finish our segment here, our last segment, on some of the things that you need to consider before you walk into a bank to ask for a mortgage loan and or talk to a lender about for a mortgage for a house that you want to purchase. And today's show, we're talking about credit history, credit scores, FICO scores, how they're constructed, what the score looks at, how it's calculated, and what it ignores. And that's going to be our next little small segment here. I only have about 7 minutes left here to talk at you, so bear with me. It's not all that boring. So anyways, I want to talk quickly about what kinds of things the FICO score actually ignores. And that would be your race, color, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, of course. And that is part of U.S. law. It's actually a right under the Consumer Credit Protection Act. So if you ever find any of that information or anything like that, make sure that you understand that the law is on your side there. The FICO score should ignore those things. Also ignores your age, your salary, your occupation, your title, your employer, the date you're employed, or employment history. So those are things that the FICO score completely ignores in its calculation. However, and I'm going to caveat that because this is a show about real estate and real estate investing, lenders actually consider some of that information, and they do consider these things. For example, where you live, any interest rates being charged on a particular credit card or other account, they can ask for that. Any items reported as child family support obligations or rental agreements. So if you have to pay child support or you have rent payments, of course, the lender can ask about that and use that as their scoring. Now remember, FICO score is just part of the score that the lender comes up as a whole to approve you for a mortgage or not. And certain types of inquiries, of course, requests for credit report or score, will also be considered by the lender. So the score does not count any requests you make, any requests from employers, and any requests lenders make without your knowledge. So they can also consider information that's not even in your credit report. It could be in the application that you filled out when you applied for the loan with the lender. And any information not provided to be predictive of future credit performance. So they can not prove to be predictive of future credit performance. So they can look at all kinds of other stuff. Lenders do that. Lenders, of course, now have to other things that they have to consider. But they do consider more than what is just in your FICO score or your credit report. So when a lender receives your FICO score, they can give you up to 4 score reasons that are actually delivered from the credit reporting agencies, the 3 credit reporting agencies I recently mentioned. And these are the top reasons why your score isn't higher. And if the lender rejects your request for credit and your FICO score was part of the reason, these score reasons can help the lender tell you why. And you should use those as well to see if you can maybe make some improvements to your credit history and your credit report and score, and maybe apply for a loan sometime in the future. All right, so I'm going to finish my segment here just to give you a little bit more information on how to get a hold of your report and score, because I think you definitely should do that if you're planning to go into real estate investing or you have any aspirations to become a homeowner here in the future. Basically, getting and retaining a copy of your personal credit report is always going to be a good idea. Congress actually gave each of us the right to get one free credit report from each of the three big credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, every year. So you can get one every year without any charge at all. And you can also, of course, check your FICO score and find out specific things that you can do to raise it. The websites for many banks, financial services sites, and credit reporting agencies offer FICO scores for fee, as does the Fair Isaac's MyFICO site. It's www.myfico.com. And I've actually realized recently that whenever I open some of my mortgage accounts and even credit card accounts online, there is actually a button there on the right where you can just request your current FICO score and they'll just give it to you right there and then, and there's no charge for that at all. So that's kind of like a recent thing. I think maybe that came about since after this book came out, but I think it's really still a good idea to check that, whether you have access to that through your own lenders and banks or not. In addition, of course, you can also see your average interest rates for home loans for different FICO score ranges on some of these sites, which is also a really good thing. So I hope this segment here today on some of the things that you need to consider before home buying from this book that I picked up here at Goodwill, Home Buying for Dummies, third edition by Eric Tyson and Ray Brown, was informational to you. I'm actually working through this book myself. It says that it's a reference for the rest of us, and I do need a reference always, so it's really good to have this information. And let's see. We have only about 2 minutes or so left. So what I'm going to do is just to give you some more housekeeping information here before I get off the air this afternoon. And let's see, next week I think we're going to be talking a little bit more about some of this information in this book. If I do not succeed to get some live guests into the show, I have a couple lined up, so just bear with me on that. My name, of course, is Julia M. Spencer. You can reach me by just emailing me, and it's really easy. Email realestate@juliamspencer.com. Send me a message. My name, the name of my show is Real Estate Real Talk. It's on Wednesdays at noon. It's easy to remember, middle of the day, middle of the week. I will also be on the air this Sunday, this coming Sunday, May 27th and June 3rd. Both of them are Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight. Going to be hosting music shows for some of the other hosts here. And it's going to be a lot more music, a lot less talking. And the next show that's going to be right here on the station is going to be Jazz Brunch, hosted by Dave Lake. And I look forward very much to hear your comments, questions, suggestions, or if you want me to make another show about a topic, feel free to suggest that topic to me. Thank you, Savannah listeners, and anybody else that's listening later on my YouTube channel or anywhere else. I hope you have an awesome, awesome, fabulous rest of your Wednesday and week. Happy investing, and tune in again next week. You are listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul, and I'm going to sign off here with some Norah Jones.